kind of keep on working with them to get them here, amen, on Wednesdays and try to get them here next Sunday, especially for Philip. I want to put one more plug. I talked to Philip today. He's so excited about me. He hasn't been with us in over 4 years. And he was even asking me, do I get to come back to Albuquerque ever? And I go, I'm sorry, Philip. He's like Uncle Philip to me. And he is a tremendous part of our family, and God uses him so powerfully. So I hope you'll be here. I hope you'll invite somebody, especially if there's somebody that needs a miracle, amen, or if you need one. But Acts chapter 14, and we're going to start reading verse 8, and we're going to read just a few verses down. The Bible says, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, he said, stand up. Stand up straight on your feet, he said. And he leaped and walked. You notice he says, stand up. Now he's talking to somebody that has never before walked in their lives. He's talking to somebody who has been crippled since the womb. Since he came out of his mother's womb, he has never been able to walk before. And here the Apostle Paul, with boldness and declaration, says, stand up straight. He doesn't say just stand up. He says, stand up straight. Because when God does something, he always does it right. He always does it complete. He never halfway does anything. He does it completely and totally. Come on, somebody. And so he tells him that. And with a loud voice, he does it. Now, can you imagine Paul? He's preaching and he's looking into the crowd. And in the crowd, there's all these people. But this one guy stands out. Not so much because he's crippled. Not so much because he can't walk. But the content of his face. Listen to this. The Bible says, he said, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. In other words, he looked into his eyes. He looked into his body language. He looked into his interests and he said, you, this guy right here, the Holy Spirit began to show him, this guy right here has hungry faith. He has the faith to believe for a miracle. Now, when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices. They raised their voices and saying in their Lishaean language, and they said, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. And verse 12 says, and Barnabas they called Zeus, and in Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gate, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard this, they tore their clothes, and they ran right into the middle of the multitude, crying out. And they said this, men, why are you doing these things? We are also men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all the things that are in them. Lord, we thank you, God. We know that your word is powerful. It's anointed. I pray you'd anoint me, God, to speak with understanding and with clarity. And under your anointing, we pray in Jesus' name, and everyone said. Now, how many know that you can talk about miracles and you can read about miracles, but when you see a miracle, when something happens, it amazes people. We've seen so many miracles in our ministry throughout these years. We've seen people healed, and we've seen the blind see, and we've seen so many different things. We talked a lot about miracles on Sunday, how the greatest miracle was that, you know, Jesus would call out to the dead, and the dead would rise out of the grave. Come on, somebody. And miracle after miracle we read in the Gospels. But then as we look beyond the pages of the Bible, we look and we see miracles every single day. There's always, God's always up to something. And I want you to know that if you need a miracle, your miracle is just a few more days of prayer away. Your miracle is just a couple of weeks away. Your miracle is just a little ways off. Just like when Abraham was running up on the other side of the mountain to take his son to sacrifice. You remember the ram that was caught in the thicket? It was on the other side of the mountain walking up. It was on its way when they were on their way. Well, guess what? Your miracle is on the way. The miracle that your family member is believing for, it's on the way. See, It's just, for some of you, it's just a seed planted away. I believe in planting seed. I believe in prayer. I believe in getting a hold of God and trusting Him. If you already planted a miracle seed in the last 8 or 9 weeks, water your seed. You know, if anybody here has planted a garden and you planted corn or you planted any kind of melones or tomatoes, and even if it cracked the ground, it's not going to produce the vegetables. You're not going to get cantaloupes within 6 or 7 weeks. It's going to take a little time. At first it buds and then the flower comes out and then the fruit comes out and then it has time, the process of growing. And for some of you, you're believing God for a loved one, and you sowed a seed on Easter Sunday morning, and their name's on that cross right there. And we're not forgetting that cross. We're not taking that cross down yet. We're going to wait until we've seen many, many of those turn into miracles, because you're believing for your loved ones, and so are we believing with you. But listen, you're going to have to continue to water. You got to water your seed. You can't just plant a seed and just sit there and come back every other day and say, what is it looking like? You have to put some water on it. Come on, somebody. Here in our text, we find a man who needed a miracle. We find a man who is totally hopeless. From his mother's womb, he's always been the same. He doesn't know what it's like to walk. And we find, once he's healed, we find a people amongst him. We see a people who practiced Greek and Roman mythology. These men, these women that are there, they practice all kinds of different religions and all kinds of different faiths and beliefs. They were lost. They were deranged. They served false gods. But these men, when they saw them move in the Spirit, when they saw their sensitivity to the Spirit, and as they was preaching, the Bible says that Paul was speaking. Well, you know, he was preaching. And as he was preaching, all of a sudden he turns to that man and boldly declares that he stands up. And the Bible says he began to leap and walk. So you know what that means. Come on, somebody. If you've been crippled since you were out of your mother's womb, and all of a sudden you stood straight and you had strength in your legs, because when God does it, he makes you whole and complete. He doesn't do anything, like I said earlier, halfway. He does it all the way. So this guy took off running is what he did. The Bible says he leaped and walked, and that was in the original language, that he began to run around. So the people begin to look at him. They look at him, they look at Paul, and immediately, because of their beliefs, because of the derangement, and because of their twisted way of believing, they thought these were gods. Imagine that. And so it caused them to go into a frenzy. They began to want to sacrifice. They got oxen and they got all the stuff together. They began to get ready to have a big old sacrifice there in front of the temple of Zeus. And that's the way they believed. And they were going to sacrifice even to these guys. And look what they do. Their pride doesn't get a hold of them. Their lust for power doesn't get a hold of them. They just immediately run into the crowd and said, stop what you're doing. Let me paraphrase it. So what do you think you're doing? We're just like you. We're the same like you were. We're all people here. And we're not gods. You can't be sacrificed. What you need to do is you need to get right with God. And you need to sacrifice to the one and true God. And he begins to let him have it, man. And so they're even calling them by the name Zeus and Hermes. Can you imagine that? So you have to understand why these people were like that. They had been raised like that. Their parents, everybody had been raised like that. And you have to understand that they were moved by anything. Anything that moved, they moved. Anything that happened, they just moved. And see, because they were looking for all kinds of signs. They were looking for the next fad. They were looking for the next thing. They were swerved so easily. Let me tell you something. Like, don't be so moved so easily. Don't get swerved out by things so easily. And you see something. You know, I've seen so many people succumb to fads and different things. I mean, you remember the old adage, don't drink the juice. You know, can you imagine being part of a group like that, like 500-600 people that go out with this guy, Jim Jones, way many years ago in the 80s like that, and or the 90s, and he goes out there and they all drink the juice and commit suicide. Can you imagine being led like that? Just wanting to hear. It's got to match up with the Word of God. With what I'm saying has to match up with the Word here. When I'm preaching, when these guys preach about, when they're preaching, when the ladies are preaching, it has to match up with God's word. It can't just be for philosophy. It can't just be theory. It has to match up with the Word of God. And the Bible says, Jesus told the disciples, greater things you'll do in my name. He says, you'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And so Paul and Barnabas are only doing what Jesus had taught the disciples to do. They're just going out and in the name of Jesus, stand up straight and walk. That's what he's doing. And they're standing up. The power of God has come upon them. The anointing of God is upon them. And so these things are happening. And don't you ever think that those things were just for the book of Acts. Those are for now. For right now, God wants to move right now. So don't be so easily moved by false gods and by fads. And you don't need somebody to read your palm. You're written on the palms of God's hand, the Bible says. You don't need somebody to tell your future with some cards. I can't believe the fact that people will go to somebody and say, what does it say about my future? Are you kidding me? Jeremiah 29:11 says you have a future. You got to find it in God's word. 29:11 says you have a hope. God has a plan for you. But so many people are wooed and they're swerved and moved so easily. And usually when they're at the end of that, I don't know what to do. And then, there's always somebody ready to, to pounce on you like that. So you don't need nobody to tell you your future. God can tell you your future in the Word of God. God already has an amazing future for you. What you need to do is elevate your faith. What you need to do is you need to get you to the next level of where God wants you to be at so that nothing can sway you. Notice that Paul wasn't swerved or deviated by the spirit of the people. A lot of people in that position could have easily said, oh, well, that's right, I'm awesome. Ooh. Go ahead, just don't slaughter all the, just sacrifice one oxen. They could have got like that. They could have swerved. The spirit of the people could have changed them. You know, like, remember I preached about the tea bag? The tea bag changes the water. The water don't change the tea bag. Right? When that boiling water goes in there, that tea bag goes inside the water, that tea bag changes what's going on in that water. But what happens with a lot of people is the circumstances around us usually change us when we should be changing the circumstances. So these guys walk into a situation where you would think that some people might be swayed and swerved and feel like, oh man, like puffy headed, like, oh yeah, these people, look at the way they're clapping for us. The crowds. But he flips the script in humility under the anointing. And he says, no. He says, he declares, get rid of those useless things that are in your lives. Turn to the real God. Get rid of the false gods in your life. Don't let anything take the place of Jesus. He says, we're just like you guys, man. You can't possess useless stuff in your lives. See, the meaning of useless here in this scripture, the original language here, is the word mateos. And that word mateos, it means fruitless. It means unreal. It means empty. It means hollow. It means futile. It means lacking substance. It means ineffective. It means void of results. In other words, what the word is trying to say is he's trying to say, why are you following things that have no substance? Listen, when was the last time Zeus healed a cripple there, man? When was the last time Hermes got a hold of somebody and changed a situation for somebody? He never did. Nothing happens. Nothing happens with them. You keep on calling on those false gods and calling on those false gods, and there's a couple of little coincidences here and there, but for the most part, nothing ever happens. And all of a sudden, when they see a miracle, the first thing they do is they attribute it to those false gods. And finally, we've been worshiping here at the temple of Zeus all these years. And finally something happened. So they began to think that it is that. And in fact, Paul gets out there and says, you're wrong, wrong, wrong. We're serve one true God, the Father of heaven, who created all the earth and everything in it. And he sent his only begotten son to the earth and died on a cross so that you could be forgiven of your sins. But he didn't just die on that cross. He was buried, and 3 days later he rose from the dead. And I want you to know, he's coming back one day. He's coming back soon. Now, what are the useless things that you have in your life? What is it that you have that's useless in your life? I guess the way you could do it is just take a look. Take a look at what you got, because There's reasons why you need to get rid of them, but you first got to know what it is. So why do you should you get rid of things that are useless in your life? Why is it you don't need those things? Well, first of all, exactly what the word says, they're useless. They're void. They have no business in your life. There's some things in your life that you ain't got no business having in your life. There's some things in your life that you have no business possessing. And I'm talking spiritually for mind, body, and soul. But if you don't get rid of what's fruitless in your life, it's going to eat away at you. One of the reasons why I never plant tomatoes is because tomatoes, I don't care what you do, it is inevitable that the tomato bug's coming. It's a big old caterpillar, a green caterpillar that looks exactly like the stem. It has the ability to just to blend in like the predator. You know that movie, The Predator? You can't tell it's just in the tree. Same thing with that thing. Those little predators, man, they go and they just eat up everything. They just chomp on those. And I couldn't. So I don't plant tomatoes no more. I just buy them. But think about that. You know, those things are fruit. They cause nothing, but they eat away everything. And whatever's useless in your life is going to eat away at you. So get rid of it. See, you got to get rid of the things that are unproductive in your lives. The things that weigh you down, the things that hinder you from growing in your character, in your family, in your marriage, in your life, at your workplace. Man, some of you God wants to elevate. He wants to elevate you and give you a raise, but you still got some useless things in you. And your boss is just looking and saying, man, you got so much potential, but there's some useless things. And you say some useless things. And God wants to bless you, but you got to get rid of some useless things. See, because they're not effective. They waste your time. They waste your energy. They waste your life. Now, how do you get rid of it? How do you get rid of it? We've established the fact that we have to get rid. We know we have useless things. All of us, as human beings, we have useless things in our lives. I know I do. I've had useless things. I've had to deal with it, whether I like it or not. Now, the way you get rid of it is first is you have to evaluate. You have to take a good look and say, what is it in my life? And you have to be brutally honest and say, what is it in my life that I don't need anymore? I don't need this. I don't need that. I don't need that. And you get rid of that. And then all of a sudden, things begin to open up on you. Like, ooh, you see things you never saw before. You begin to enjoy things you never enjoyed before. You know what that means when you evaluate what's useless in your life? That means you have to be brutal with yourself. You have to say, hey, dude. In the mirror, yeah, you, Danny. You don't need that in your life anymore. Yeah, but I'm so used to that. That's the way all I know. That's how my dad was, how my grandpa was. That's all I ever know. No. It's useless. It does nothing for you. It's going to ruin you. It's going to be your ruin. He said, see, you have to deal with those things because that, whatever's kept in the dark, you'll never talk about it. If you don't talk about it, then you'll never deal with it. So you got to say, self, what do I got in my life that's useless? I don't need this in my life. Let me do what's useful. See? Second thing is that you have to put up a fight. You got to fight for it. There's been times where I've had to fight useless things that tried to stay in my life. I had to fight it. I had to put the dukes up. You know, last night about 2:45 in the night, my wife heard the door, the little chime. Ding. So we heard it, and she woke up. She goes, somebody just opened the door. And my son-in-law and my daughter lived there, so we figured out they probably opened the window or something. So, yeah, he sure did. He put the dog out and brought the dog back in, and so we knew that. But I looked out the window, and there was these two guys fighting at 2:45 in the morning on Tuesday night. At 2:45 in the morning, and each one of them, now this is for real, I promise. I was not on any kind of like cough medicine or anything like that. I promise. My son-in-law saw it too, and everybody saw it. I should have videoed it. But these guys both had only one glove on. And they were pounding each other. It was a smaller guy and a taller guy. And the taller guy would just go like this. And I was just like this. And my daughter goes, are you going to call the cops? I go, no. I go, if they started like, you know, doing something crazy, but I could tell they were like friends, but they were beating on each other, right? So finally, to make a long story short, one of them just fell, he hit, I guess, in the stomach, and he fell over, and he just sat there, and he laid back and on the ground like that. And the other guy looked at him, he goes, he sat down, before you know it, he laid down right next to him. In the middle of the street, those of you who've been to my house, you know, on the round cul-de-sac, right there, not way back in there where the cars drive. And I'm thinking, oh my God, a car's going to come through there, or some drunk or something, or somebody that's going to work at 4 o'clock and has to be at work, and we're going to not see these guys. But then there's another guy I noticed that's under the light sitting there. He walks over and he looks at them, he sits down, he lays with them too, and they're just in the street. And I go, oh my God, this is a crazy dream or what? So I asked Maddie, and he goes, no, I seen it too, Dad. I seen it, Pops. He goes, so then what happens? They get up, and they kind of like give a little, you know, the little macho hug, like that, and then they walked off together. All I know is those guys were fighting. They were duking it out. I'm talking about they were both slugging it up hard. I can't imagine what they looked like this morning. They must have been like, what am I saying? You gotta fight for your soul, man. You gotta fight for your soul because your soul is popular in hell. You got a mark on you. The devil wants to take you out, and sometimes we just leave the things that are, the very things that let him in, we leave there. And God says, get rid of them. Get rid of useless things. Because the devil's subtle. Sometimes he's all out, you know. Other times, he's just subtle, man. Just shows up. Hey, what's up? Just shows up, man. And you have to fight for your soul. He's a deceiving dog. He's always lurking, always roaming about, seeking who he can devour, the Bible says. He will do anything to take you off course. Even if he doesn't get you completely, he will just try to get you off course. Now, in warfare, you have to do warfare. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4-6, I'll put it on there. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments or imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. See, you have to be able to, you have to tell yourself, you know what? You little useless thing, you're gone. You're out. He says, yeah, but I like it here. Oh, you know, have you seen those commercials with the phlegm? What is that stuff? The Mucinex guys. That's what they're like. They're just hanging out. And you let them. They sit on your couch. They like get in your refrigerator. They do whatever they want. They walk around your house. They do whatever they want. You gotta get rid of them. And sometimes you gotta beat it out of them. You gotta kick them out. Out. Honey, go ahead, get the last one. You gotta fight, man. You gotta fight for your soul. You gotta fight for your family. You gotta fight for your calling. You gotta fight for God. Not like literally fight, but I mean spiritually fight. And that you have to wear the full armor of God. Prayer is a must. You cannot go without prayer. I'm gonna tell you right now, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. W-E-A-K. Week. Clean house, man. Declutter your house. Declutter your mind, your heart, your body. Man, you should see what we just did at my house. I had an office that was there for 20 years. Imagine an office for 20 years with every kind of thing in there. Every kind of wire. John was asking me, what are these wires for? I go, I don't know. Put them in the giveaway or throwaway or the garage sale box. So we had a box and we just threw a bunch. There's like 75 wires in there. I'm going to let you guys, the guys in the sound, is there like one or two things you guys need? They're probably going to say, oh my God, what is that? But I had to get rid of that. They were there for 20 years in boxes and places. Well, I'm going to need this later. Little things. So I had to be brutally honest, and I had to get cassette tapes that I know I'm never going to listen to. I had over 2,500 cassette tapes. Jimmy Swaggart, my pastor, Pastor Sonny, my dad, all kinds of people. Mark Garcia, Manuel Aguilar, all kinds of, And all kinds of people, Felipe Gonzalez, just I'm not going to never listen to these. There's 2,500 of them, and I've been holding on to them for like 18 years, 20 years. So I had to just what I do with these. I go, here. And he goes, give them to me, Pastor. I go, We got my office. We emptied it completely, 100% of everything. Then we went into my garage. And I said, oh, my God, there's things in here. So I called my daughters. I said, you know what? I don't know why you have boxes of stuff in here. Guys, I'm finding New Kids on the Block stuff. I'm finding pictures of Jordan Knight. For those of you who don't know that, I had to know that because that's somebody I had like maybe beat up when my daughter was a teenager, if you ever found her here in Albuquerque. That's the leader of the New Kids on the Block. And so all these pictures, and I found all kinds of yearbooks and all kinds of stuff. And all kind. I go, come and get your junk. Come and get your useless things out of my garage and put them in your garage. They came and looked at me and go, I don't want that. And they go, I just want this one thing. And they throw the rest of it away. I'm like, why was it here for 25 years, 20 years? Useless. Why don't you come to the keyboard, would you? What I'm saying is, let me just say, we had to declutter everything. We just start getting rid of things. We had stuff in there that we don't need. You got stuff in your that you don't need. Just get rid of it. Some of it's old stuff. Some of it's newer stuff, but a lot of it's old stuff. Just get rid of it. Don't let the devil use that thing to stop you from going forward where you need to be. Come on, somebody. Huh? And we're not done yet. I still got some more things to do. Because then I went into my shed. See, I don't want a cluttered garage, and I don't want a cluttered heart. I don't want my spirit all cluttered with all kinds of things. I want to have a pure spirit. Come on, somebody. I had to evaluate what I had to let go of. There's a lot of VHS tapes right there that I was never going to deal with. I got rid of them, just threw them away. It feels good to be uncluttered. It feels good to know where things are at. It feels good to arrange things. Have your life a little more arranged. You see, the devil likes to make things cluttered and confused. Rearrange your life tonight. Get rid of some stuff, some useless things. And make a few adjustments. You know, sometimes just a couple of adjustments. You know, we have these amazing, they're like steel with wheels on them, like shelves from Costco. We bought them, I don't know, 18, 15, 17 years ago. We've had so much stuff in there. We didn't even know it was there. When I took everything out of there, I was like, oh, my God. We threw most of it away. And I said, wow, we have a place to put our luggage. They're all just put in there like that now. All the luggage is there instead of all piled all over the place and rooms. It's so nice to know where the luggage is at. So nice to be able to know where things are at. You go right to it. Because we had to rearrange it. It was brutal. Really, really, honestly, it took a lot of physical, but right here, because you don't want to let go of old things. Like, I need to have that. I need to see that. No, you don't. Just get rid of it. What do you need to get rid of? What's useless in your life? What's fruitless? What's void of substance? What's not good for you that you know you don't need, but you still hold on to it? It could be pride. It could be lust. It could be greed. It could be... those are the big ones. Those are the biggies. But then let's look at the little foxes, the little things. These are not sins. These are not bad. But there's something to be said about a man or a woman's character and ethics. Something to be said about a man or woman who just can be ethical and honest. If you've got a spirit that always causes you to try to be shady or try to go this way instead of the truth, then you got to get rid of that. You need to get rid of the useless things in your life. Because really that's what Jesus is talking about here. It's an analogy of us, the body. He says, get rid of the useless things. And if there's anything else that you're worshiping other than God, and it could be a lot of different things, not so much like a Zeus and a Hermes and an actual false god, but maybe something in this life that's more important to you. See, anything that's in your heart that's not Jesus is a false god. Get rid of it. There's nothing wrong with doing what your hobbies. There's nothing wrong with, I love to fish. You know that. I'm a fisherman. I can't wait to go fishing. I got my fishing license. I bought a double rod fishing license. Two rods, man. I love to fish. fishing used to be one of my gods. Because I fished 4 or 5 times a week. Every week, 52. Cold, hot, spring, didn't matter. I fished all the time. It was my getaway from my family, get away from my life, get away from everything. I'd just go out and fish, just stare at the water. And fishing became a god to me. And so I had to let that go. And then God allowed me, you know, to take my grandkids and my children, teach them. And I know we don't go very often. When we go, we have a good time. There were some useless things in my life, useless friends I had. Useless, man. As much as I loved them, they didn't love me. I had to let go. There's some small things that pile up too. They seem like they're okay, but they're useless. It's usually the small little things. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's not the big things usually. Here Paul said, he said, but when the apostles Barnabas and Paul. Now this is one of the last times you'll read of Barnabas and Paul. Shortly after this, you start to hear Paul and Barnabas, because God raised up Paul to be a leader, the top leader of leaders. That does not mean that Barnabas was not any good. It's just that God raised up Paul. But here, Barnabas is still kind of, he's like the lead guy. And he says, he jumps out. They tore their clothes. What are you doing, man? We're just like you guys. We're men just like you. You should turn from these useless things to the living God. And I'll leave you with this tonight. If there's anything useless in your life, you should turn from those useless things to the living God tonight, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bow your heads with me tonight. Father, I come before you, Lord, and we thank you tonight that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word is life. It brings life. Lord, tonight our prayer is that the word you gave me to speak to our church tonight is that there's some useless things that we don't need anymore. Father, I don't know how we can live with things that are useless and know they're useless and still live with them, but we do it because we're human. So we pray that the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, with boldness, would give us the trust and the boldness to be able to release and let go of those things that are useless in our lives. In the name of Jesus. If you're here this evening and you say, Pastor, there's some useless things I need to get rid of. I got a revelation. It's a couple of things I need to deal with. Maybe just one thing. It could be just one thing that's useless. Or it could be a whole bunch of things all mixed up. Whatever it is, I'm going to ask him to sing this song. And I'm going to ask you from wherever you're at to come. So you know what? I want to come to that altar. And I want to get rid of some useless things. I'm going to just leave it open for you. You say, you know what? There's some useless things in my life, in my vocabulary, in my memory, in my heart. I want to get rid of it. I don't need that useless thing in my life. That won't let me go forward. That won't let me accomplish what God wants me to accomplish. That won't let me be successful. That won't allow my marriage to be great. That won't allow my business to thrive. That won't allow me to walk with Jesus all the rest of my life. And I'm not going to let it reside in my body, my soul, my spirit, my mind. Never again. I want to get rid of it tonight. I want to leave every useless thing at this altar and send it right back where it belongs in the name of Jesus. Come on, from all over this place, say, oh, I don't need this anymore. I'm leaving it here at this altar. I don't need this. It's useless in my life. It's futile. It's a void. It's not worth anything. It's hurting me. Hear God, I give it over to you. I cast my cares at your feet tonight. I leave unforgiveness at this altar. I leave pain at this altar tonight. I leave frustration at this altar tonight. Oh, there's power. Oh, there's power in the blood.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Oh, there's power in the name.
There's power in the name of Jesus.
Oh, to break every chain.
Break every chain. To break every chain. Break every chain.
Come on, he's breaking chains right now. I can feel it falling off.
Break every chain. to break every chain.
Oh.
I hear those chains falling.
Come on, there's some chains falling off of you. Some things you've been holding on to, brother.
I hear those chains.
There's some things you've been holding on to for too long in your life, man. Lift up your hands. And tonight you need to let go of something tonight. There's some things you've been holding on to that reside in here. They're useless, people. God has seen, I want to give you a breakthrough. That's it. That's it. Let it go tonight. In the name of Jesus, the power of God come upon you right now. In the name of Jesus, let it go. Let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. It's useless. It's useless. It won't let you. It won't let you go. You have to kick it out. You have to kick it out. You've got to let it go. You got to kick it out.
I hear those chains falling.
Come on, there it is. Just let it go.
I hear
just let it go. It's useless. It doesn't belong there. Oh, I feel those chains falling.
I hear those chains falling.
Hallelujah. Father, I pray that for every man or woman that has had the guts to just admit and say, there's some useless things I have in my life I don't need. I will let go of them tonight. I pray, God, you'd meet them right here at this altar. Meet them at this altar, Father. Because I can't, is they're saying in their hearts, I can't let this useless thing abide in me anymore. I need to let it go. I need to say bye-bye. And they say, that's it, I'm done. I don't need this useless thing in my life anymore. It's just, it's eating away at me. I pray you meet him at this altar right now. Meet him right here, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray the power of the Holy Spirit help everybody to stand up straight and be healed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Be healed. Some of those useless things cause so much pain. They cause so much confusion. No more. No more. That's it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. No more. That's it. That's it. That's it. Enough's enough. Declutter. Get rid of useless things in the name of Jesus.